Acts chapter number 4. I haven't preached out of the book of Acts in a long time, but the Lord led my heart to the book of Acts this evening, and we began with our first prayer meeting and with the purpose of praying for revival this afternoon at 5:30. I want to mention that again. I remember in this church, we used to have cottage prayer meetings. In this church, our whole church just about would come together, and we would meet at different people's houses. We'd come and we'd meet in the old church building. We'd leave the church doors open all day, all week, and people would come in at different times of the day whenever they could. And Preacher Kerrigan led by example, and he made prayer a big thing. It was a big part of his life, and I believe that's why his life was so powerful. It's because of the value that he put on prayer. And somewhere along the lines, we have sort of got away from just how important prayer is. And we need to get back to that, not just clusters of our church, but our church as a whole need to see the high importance of corporately coming together and calling on God to help us, because we need the help of God. And so I want to encourage you for the next few Sundays. Asking you to come 30 minutes early is not asking too much. That's a small price to pay to come together and just get around the altar and plead with God to come and to move in our midst. And so I hope you'll take advantage of that and help us. Acts chapter number 4, and we will begin reading in verse number 31. Brother Eddie, I need just a bump of volume. My throat is about shot. So Acts chapter 4, verse number 31. If you're there, say amen. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Here's our text verse. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And that's be all the reading, but keep your Bibles open. The Bible said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. With the help of the Lord this evening, I want to preach on the subject, plugging in to the power of God. We need the power of God. I think that's evident. I think that's clear. I think it's not a mystery. I believe every one of us that's been saved any length of time, been in church, been around the things of God, know when we're going through the motions, versus when God comes and sits down in a service and His power is manifested. It's very evident, it's very clear, it's night and day when the power of God moves in our midst. And I believe that in the early church, it was very, very clear to see that they were operating in the power of God. And that's where the miraculous things that took place. That's how 12 men turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ, because they were tapped into and plugged into the power of God. And so, by way of introduction, I don't know about you, but I marvel at the power of God that the early church had and experienced and exposed to all of us. I mean, think about it. It's amazing, ain't it? the ways that God used the early church. I mean, that thing, they for 4,000 plus years had been under one economy, under one dispensation, under the law. And then here, ushered in by Jesus Christ, none other than the Son of God, the grace of God is brought in and a new dispensation begins. And I know most of you know this, but we have some that hadn't been saved long. All a dispensation is a particular time when God looks at and deals with a particular people. And so for thousands of years, they had been under the old economy of the law and under how things were done for all these millennia of years. And then Jesus comes and Jesus lives, who was born, lived sinless, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and open the doors to salvation, not just to the Jews. God had his eyes on the Jew, the apple of his eye. And when Jesus came, he flung the doors wide open, and that's how sinners and Gentile dogs like me and you got into this thing to where we could be saved and we could become a part of the family of God, and we could experience not only, listen, not being outcast and aliens to the things of God, but that we could be brought into the fold and brought into the family of God, and that we could too experience the power of God. That all happened here in the book of Acts, right after Jesus had died on the cross, and this was fresh in the disciples' eyes and in the apostles' eyes. They had seen him crucified, and they had seen him hanging there on Calvary's hill, and they had witnessed, I mean, I witnessed their Savior, who they lived with and walked with and preached with and prayed with for over 3.5 years. They saw him nailed to a cross, and they saw him being spat upon and beaten and ridiculed, and they saw him cry and say, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," and to cry out those seven sayings on the cross and ultimately say, "It is finished." And Jesus finished all that God had, the Father had set out for him to do, and salvation was accomplished and paid for full and free. These men witnessed all of that. And then the dark 3 days began when Jesus lay in the tomb and his body was there, and they scattered just like the Bible said they would, just as it was prophesied. They denied and they doubted and they wondered, "My Savior's dead. Was all this a ruse? Was all this fake?" And before we get too judgmental on them, can you imagine walking with him and seeing the great power that he had and then to see him die? But we know the story. And they too would learn it and see it and experience it for themselves. That same man who hung upon a cross and died, that same man that had holes in his hands and a riven side and holes in his feet and a crown of thorns upon his head, that same Jesus come out of the grave 3 days and 3 nights later, and he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And they seen that. They witnessed that, and it empowered them. And Jesus came and he dwelt with them for many days and after the resurrection, and he was prepping them and preparing them for this major shift that would take place, where God would turn the door and close the door to the Jew and open the door to a new dispensation to those of us. And now for 2,000 plus years, we've been living in the church age. And this early church, these disciples, these apostles, these men who witnessed that, they were empowered by the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, the early church. I mean, listen, it was that early time between when Jesus had went back to heaven and they were there without the Savior. I mean, they were had rejoiced over him being resurrected, but then he come to them and said, "Yes, I died. I am," as the book of Revelation 1:18 said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, but am alive forevermore." He told them that. They saw that. They experienced that. But then he came to them and said, "I must go away. I'm leaving." It's expedient for me to go. It's better for me to go. And they could not comprehend that. They could not understand that. He said, but I'm sending one in my place. I'm sending you a comforter. I'm sending you one that is promised, one that will walk with you, and He will guide you into all truth, and He will be there for you. He will dwell in you, and He will live in you, and that is none other than the Holy Ghost of God. And that's where we pick up in this story. And listen, the early church, no question about it, it's absolutely amazing at the power of God that they experienced and exposed to the world. I mean the miracles and the gifts that God give them. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but listen, a lot of things that took place in the book of Acts, people have got off on their doctrine and they've took things from here and there and got it out of place. But I'm just simply going to say this. God did a whole lot of big things for that time period to kickstart the church age, to get the church in gear, to give the church extra power, to change what had been in place, a system that had been in place for 4,000 years that He was radically changing. But no doubt about it, the early church, got plugged in to the power source. And that's the only way that they turn the world upside down. And so I want to look at plugging in to the power source. Listen, I don't know about you, but how many be honest tonight enough to say and admit that I've been saved? You've been saved? I want to see your hand. Don't be ashamed. If you've been saved, raise your hand. All right? Now, if you've been saved over a year, let me see your hand. If you've been saved over 5 years, raise your hand. 10, 20, 30. All right? Now, look at that. Now, whether you've been saved a year, 5, 10, 20, 30 years, or longer, then you've been saved long enough to know that we are apt to begin living the Christian life not on purpose, not intentionally, but it just happens sometimes before we know it, and we are just going through the motions. Doing what we're doing because that's what we've been doing and that's what we know to do. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Can I say to you, there's no power in that. It's no wonder when we are going through the motions and we're doing what we're doing just to be doing, and because we know that's what we're supposed to be doing, but we're not tapped into the power of God, to the power source of God, it's no wonder we're not turning Packlet upside down, much less the known world. If we're going to do anything eternal as the church, as Morningstar Baptist Church, if we're going to reach Packlet, which ought to be our goal, Acts 1:8, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to become witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. In other words, listen, in Jerusalem, Packlet is our Jerusalem. We make much of missions. We have a missions program, and we got a lighthouse up there and a lighthouse over there, and we have missions conference and mission month, and we have missions conference, and we make much of getting the gospel out around the globe, as we should. But God help us. God help us not to put more emphasis on Africa or Iceland or Venezuela or any other place on the globe and overlook our Jerusalem. There's people under the shadow of this cross that's upon the top of this church that need the gospel. There's friends and there's family that we know and love that if they don't see something different from this church, I mean from the people that make up this church, if they don't see something more in religion and just the calisthenics we go through, if they don't experience and hear about and see the real power of God, they ain't got no hope because the world's fed up to here with church as we know it. And so we got two options. We can either conform, and we can get us some laser lights and some fog machines, and we can conform to this world, and we can attract the crowds, and we can bring them in and bring us some contemporary Christian rock groups in, and boy, we can get us a crowd. Or we can go back to the source and go back to what's been tested, tried, and true. And I'm here to tell you, old-time religion ain't dead. Old-time religion might be out of style, but old-time religion and pure religion is undefiled, and it still works. And we don't need a new plan. We need the old plan. We don't need a new man. We need the old man. We need to get tapped back in and plugged back into the power of God. That's the only hope our town and the surrounding areas have. Matter of fact, that's the only hope this church has. There's children in our church that's still unmoved and unsaved. That bothers me. We ought to want the power of God to be so real and permeate this place that when a sinner walks in this place, they automatically fall under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I mean, when they come in these doors, that we've bathed this place in prayer, and we've cried in these altars, and we've wept for them, and we've pleaded with God. Oh, God, don't let a sinner come here, and he don't sit right down in the lap of the Holy Ghost of God and fall under conviction and leave here saved. That's our duty. That's our obligation. And that's our opportunity. And by the way, it's the only thing that really works. All these newfangled plans and ideas, they are gimmicks. And they do not work. The early church and what God did in the book of Acts, He showed us how it's done. He took 12 men and they turned the world upside down. Are you interested in that kind of power? I am. And so, when you consider the early church, listen, on one day, one message preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, 3,000 souls saved. On another day, the Word of God records, one day, 5,000 souls saved. I'd say that's pretty powerful. I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? And then on top of that, during that and all that was going on, the Bible said, and the Lord added to the church such as should be added daily, every day. Every day people's getting saved. Every day people's getting born again. It was spreading like wildfire. People getting born again and saved and added to the church. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Not even Sunday, not even Wednesday night, but people coming and hearing and it be noise abroad that there's such power in the house of God at Morning Star, and people are hearing it, and people coming and knocking on the doors here throughout the week and to get calls and reports. And wouldn't it be wonderful Wednesday night to say, hey, I had to come up to the church Monday morning. There's a line of people standing out there saying, hey, we just fell under conviction and we want to get saved. You say, that's crazy. That can't happen. It has happened before. It has happened before, and it can happen again. The same God who done it then can do it again. Listen, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Daily. That church was marked by its powerful miracles. The early church, they experienced amazing growth. Don't you want to see that? Amen? Listen, I ain't talking about getting popular and having people leave other churches to come here. I ain't talking about proselyting. I'm talking about people coming here and hearing the gospel and it being heard in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost and getting born again. And we see drunkards getting delivered and saved. And we see those who are so hooked and trapped and enslaved by meth and cocaine and all that other stuff getting delivered and saved and added to the church. Wouldn't you love to see that? See, I just don't know if that can happen. In and of our power and our strength, it can't. But if we tap into the power of God, I promise you it can. And they experienced amazing growth. They were filled with the Holy Ghost of God. It lets us know there was something different about this early church. I'm going to ask you something personally tonight. And I don't want you to answer me out loud, but I want every person in this room to answer this to yourself honestly. Please, I'm sincere. Answer this as honest as you can. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? If God was to write the names of every member of Morningstar Baptist Church up on that wall right there in big bold letters, I guarantee you it would amaze us how few, if any, that are sitting in this service tonight are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen to me. I ain't being judgmental or critical. I'm being honest. We got to admit there's a problem before we can fix it. And I'm here to tell you, we got a problem. We have lost power. When you lose power down at the house, it affects things, don't it? Your life changes. And I know we're living in a day of generators and manufactured power and this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, when that power is severed and we lose power and there ain't no hot water and there ain't no way to cook and there ain't no way to get running water. And listen, you can't heat your house and you can't charge your phone. Feel it. I'm saying power, losing power is a life-altering change. Is it not? But we've lost power down to church house and nobody seems to be bothered. It's like we learned and adapted and just are okay not seeing sinners saved. We come in week in and week out. We sing the choir sings its songs. The congregation stands and sings. We take up the offering and I preach and we go through this routine. Week in, week out. Service after service after service. Rarely, hear me, I ain't being judgmental, I'm stating the truth. Rarely do people come to these altars. Even more rare. The people come to these altars and get saved. You know what that tells me? That's a flaring, flashing sign saying we have lost power. Because this early church that had power, there's people getting saved every day by the bunches. Does it bother you that that baptismal pool hadn't been troubled, filled, to be used lately? Have you thought about they being more than just a pretty cross up there? There's a baptismal pool up there that's supposed to be filled every time a sinner gets saved and takes the first step of obedience, and it ain't been nobody in there in a good while. That ought to bother us. That ought to be a sign saying, hey, We've lost power. We've lost power. So, as we consider plugging back in to the power, listen, most believers long for the same kind of power that the early church had. Or at least we should. Don't you want to see something like this? Don't you want to do more than read about it in the Bible and read about it in history books? Hey, don't you want your children to be able to experience a true Holy Ghost sent move of God? I do. I want to experience that. I want to personally experience the unadulterated, pure power of God. And I want my family to enjoy that and experience that. And I want you and your family and your children to experience that so we can not bundle it up and keep it in here, but so that we can take it out and it'd be noised abroad through this town and we could see people's lives changed and see men and women set free and born into the family of God. I want to see that. And I believe that can happen. If we want it. If we are willing to do what it takes to get plugged back into the power. Because God ain't lost an ounce of His power. He said, I got all power in heaven and in earth. And so it ain't a problem on God's end. It's a problem on ours. Listen, our church, we've got so much more than the early church had. I mean, listen, they hardly had nothing. We got nice buildings. We got padded pews. We got heat in the wintertime and AC in the summertime. And we've got lights and electricity. And we've got all the amenities and all the nice things. We've got more money than they had. We've got more ways to reach out and to touch this world than they had. But yet, they had the power of God. And that's all they needed to turn the world upside down. And so, we can't use the excuse that it can't be done because we have way more than they did, and they did it. I want to point out to us all what I believe was the source of their power and where we've got unconnected. And what we need to connect back into to get this power. I believe it's laid out right in the verses we read. The early church was plugged into three specific power sources that enabled them to turn the world upside down for the glory of God. And we merely need to plug back into the same three power supplies. And we too can experience what they did. It's that simple. You say, surely not. There's more to it. No. No, they ain't. Listen, if you can count to one, two, three, right here in these verses we just read is the formula for how to get plugged back in to the same power. You interested in that? I am. I promise you I am. I'm about like everybody. I've about had it up to here with religion. I've about had it up to here with just coming in and seeing the same old thing and hearing the same old thing and seeing nobody changed. I'm talking about sinners not being saved. I've had it up to here with that. I'll tell you more personally. Everybody look up here at me, eyeball to eyeball for a minute. I've about had it all I can take of seeing you come in and week out and never come to this altar. And me come in and week out and rarely come to this altar. Because, listen, if the power of God's here and permeating this place, And we can stand before God and His Word be expounded and it not convict us and shed light on some areas in our life that need to be tidied up and need to be cleaned up and need to be drawn closer, then there's something wrong. I know that's personal, and I ain't trying to fish you up here emotionally, but I want the power of God to move you. I can't move you. I've tried. Listen, I don't have the power, but God has the power to move you and to move me and to move our children to where we'd be so broken and burdened under the power of God that we'd be moved and we'd come to an altar and be willing to bow down and say, "Oh God, here I am. Pour yourself into me. Fill me with your spirit. Give me what I need that I could connect with and come in contact with those, and that they would be able to feel the aura of God and they would be able to sense the power of God in my life and it'd be drawn." The Bible said if the salt's lost its savior, listen, if the salt's lost its savior, it's worthless. And that's the church. I don't see too many out there who are getting thirsty for what we got. Are you listening? Listen, I ain't preaching at you. I'm preaching to us. I need this as I'm first in line. I need to be hooked back in the power source as much as anybody. So I'm not preaching at you or down to you. I'm preaching to all of us from the Word of God. And they had the power, and they, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God put it in His Word, how we too can get connected like they was with this power. And so let's look at it. We need to plug into number one. And when I say this point, please don't roll your eyes. When I say this first point, please don't say, "Oh goodness, I thought you had something new. I thought you had something that was going to grab our attention. I thought you had something we ain't heard before." Listen, old Dr. Ed McAfee, his birthday was this past week. He's in heaven. But he used to say, "Ain't nothing new under the sun. If you find something, ditch it. Ain't nothing new under the sun." God's give us everything we need in that book. And listen, so when I mention this first one, don't roll your eyes and drift off to sleep. Because I promise you, God put it in His Word for a reason. And He put it in there over and over and over and over and over to remind us that if we want to get, reconnected. Y'all remember that movie, Back to the Future? Y'all remember old Doc, Crazy Doc, Great Scott. Y'all remember him? Yeah, Crazy Doc. He said, "Marty, we got to get a little," and he was running around, and he was waiting on the, and he grabbed him. M2 power lines, it was disconnected so he could be pushed into the however many gigawatts needed, and he and it. I'm telling you tonight, I'm standing here and I'm trying to take the Word of God, and I'm saying we need to connect back into the power source. Number one power source, how do we connect? The power of prayer. I've called for prayer meetings. And we don't need less of them, we need more. But a 30-minute section on Sunday one time a week ain't going to cut it. It's a starting point. Are you listening? We need to plug back into the power source. Look at verse 31. The Bible said in verse 31 of Acts chapter number 4, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness." The very first thing God said, if we want to get connected back into the power source, is pray. Hey, listen. Prayer will shake this church in ways that it needs to be shook. Prayer will shake your life and your home and your marriage in ways that it needs to be shook. I mean, we need a good stirring. We need to be stirred out of our lethargy and out of our routine and out of our ruts. We need to get connected with God and the power of God and be moved and shaken to the place that we can get connected back to God. And the first way to do that, the Bible said they prayed. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So if we want to get connected, we're going to have to start praying again. The context of these verses, when the disciples came back from their meeting with the Sanhedrin, the whole assembly came together in prayer. They saw the need to pray. Hear me this evening. We better see the need to pray. I mean, like never before, we are facing unprecedented days. We are facing dark, devilish, demonic days. And if our children is going to have a chance, some of your grandchildren is going to have a chance to get saved and make it through this God-forsaken world, we better get a burden to pray like we've never prayed before. This world's trying to take our children and grandchildren to hell faster than we can blink. They're pushing their agendas. They're trying to tell these little boys that they ought to be girls. And they're trying to tell these little girls they ought to be boys, or somewhere in the between. They can change their mind one day and change their mind the next, and they are brutally, messing with our children's minds and their bodies and mutilating them. And the church is yawning. Are you hearing me? What God called an abomination, we've called acceptance. And we're going to lose our children if we ain't careful and we don't get a hold of God and get back connected with God. You say, not in my house. You'll be amazed at what can happen in your house apart from the power of God. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care who your preacher is. I don't care how long you've been saved. This world, like a tidal wave, will come in and wash your children and pull them back out to sea quicker than you can blink apart from the power of God. That ought to wake us up. That ought to stir us. That ought, as this verse, it ought to shake us. And so these disciples, after all they'd seen, this is what the Bible said in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Thy servant David had said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of the truth against the Holy Child, Thy Holy Child, Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I'm saying they met with the hierarchy of their day. They met with the very ones who colluded together to put Jesus on the cross. They met with the hierarchy, and they were threatening them, telling them to shut it down, shut their mouth. Not much different what our government's telling us. They're breathing threatenings. They have jailed and imprisoned over 40 pastors in Canada, just right up north, and it's coming here very, very fast. The government's breathing down our necks, and they are doing what they can, while they can, as fast as they can, to destroy and shut the church up. And I'm telling you, and I'm reminding me, we better be shaken, because we are facing days like we've never faced before. God's been so good to us as a nation. God's been so gracious to us as a church that we have taken this for granted, that we can do it without the power of God. And I'm here to tell you, just like the early church recognized, they had to have the power of God. And they went calling on the name of God to intervene and to show His great mighty hand and His power. And it was bestowed upon them because they prayed. And if he done it for them, God, no respecter of persons, he will do it for you, and he'll do it for me, and he'll do it for Morningstar Baptist Church if we'll pray. And as they prayed together, listen, in one mind, that's so important. There ain't never been a revival where people were split up, where people were, are you listening? Were not of one accord. There ain't never been a mighty move of God, a powerful move of God, where people were sowing discord among the brethren. There ain't never been a mighty move of God where people got a hold of God and the power of God was poured out, where there was diversion and division all across the book. No, read about it. Read history. Read church history. Read about the great moves of God where His power was poured out. Read it in the Bible and read it in church history, and you'll find every case the people got right with each other. They forgive one another, and they got in one mind and one accord, and they prayed together. Every single time. God honored the prayers of His people when they came together as one, praying for the common good. If He did it for them, He will do it for us. I'm certain that most of us understand the importance of prayer. You say, oh, preacher, my goodness. I learned this in Sunday school. What you so uptight about tonight? It ain't so. It's just like that verse I preached about this morning. We know a lot. We've just failed to do a lot. Can I say this and move on? Because this ain't the message I'm preaching, but this is a message that needs to be relayed to all of us. The Bible still says where much is given, Brother Josh, much is required. And God's let us hear message after message throughout our lifetimes. God's let us sit under great men. I mean, some of the best preaching God's ever let come across this country, we've got to sit under and hear and learn and take in and like a sponge absorb. And God has given us so much, but we are accountable for all that we know. And I wonder how little we've done with what we know. So we understand the importance of prayer, don't we? If I was asked for a show of hands tonight, how many people think prayer is important? Every hand would go up. We know it's important. So my question is to me first and then to you. If we know that, why ain't we doing it? Does that not ding a bell that we've lost the power? I hope each one of us takes a time every day to pray for our families. Every day. There ought not be a day go by that we don't pray for our family. And I ain't talking about, Lord, God is great, God is good. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about where we go before God and we get our sins and our forgiven and our heart right. I quoted it this morning, but if we regard iniquity in our heart, God won't hear us. So you can say words all day long and God ain't going to hear it. But if you want to pray for your family and it matter and mean something, then you got to go before God and say, oh God, search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And if they are, and when He reveals it, and He will, if it's there, He'll show you and He'll point it out. And then you got to deal with that sin before you can ever get to God to hear about your family. Are you hearing me? So there ought not be a day go by. And I said, like me and some of you parents in here, we got children that God needs to save. Do you know, hey, I'm trying to be sensitive here, but please hear me. Please hear me. Do you know that there's some children in this church that are of age that knows they've heard the gospel? What if Jesus was to come tonight? As some of your brothers, as some of your sisters, as some of your children, some of our children that ain't yet to make a profession of faith. And I don't know what would happen. And neither do you. But what if they were left behind? Because God ain't just going to take them if they ain't saved. Are you hearing me? That bothers me. That shakes me to my core. That me and my family could leave out of here and leave one of my little children behind to herself, by herself, or one of your sons behind. And we're in heaven and they're here with the wrath of God being poured out and the Antichrist and the great tribulation taking place, and there they are left. Does that bother you? It should. It absolutely should. We ought not have a day go by that we don't pray for our families. Not only for our family, but for our community. We ought to be burdened over Packlet. It ought to bother us the shape and the condition that this little town that used to be beautiful, this little town that used to be just a wonderful, wonderful place, is a drug-infested, run-down sin hole. And before you judge me, I love Packlet. I thank God for this little town. I love it with all my heart. But God knows my heart. I ain't done what I should to reach it. I've done more damage than I have good, probably in the whole of it. But I'm making my decree known publicly. I want to reach this town for the glory of God. I want my friends. I don't want to get another phone call, one of my friends dying and me not knowing if they in heaven or hell. I don't want to go to another funeral and not know that I ain't done all that I could do to reach my friends and my family and know that they're going to heaven with me. We ought to be praying for them, our families and our communities. We'll be praying. Not a day should go by that we don't pray for our church. Hey, listen, we family. This is our church family. We all be praying one for each other every day. Listen, I'm going to make a statement. I want everybody to take this statement to heart. If anything, and I can't think of anything that you'll do tomorrow as a Christian more important than pray. You say, but what about telling somebody about Jesus? That's important. What about reading your Bible? That's very important. But I'm telling you, far as getting the power of God and moving the heart and hand of God to where those other things are effective and productive, we must first pray and get our heart where it needs to be and get plugged back in to where those other things matter. What's the Bible say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the same word seek as it says ask. And seek and ye shall find. We need to be praying and seeking the face of God every day. I'm going to have to stop at this one. God's give us prayer is the secret to the power of God. Period. If you want to know what's the number one thing I can leave here with tonight, that I can hook the power back up in my life, the secret is prayer. You know why I'm praying so hard? You know why it's like the devil sprinkles sand in your eyes and you just get sleepy every time you want to pray? You know why the phone rings every time you say, I'm going to start praying again? Every distraction under the sun, your mind will go a million different ways. I mean, I'll get down to pray and have the craziest thoughts. Like, is God even real? Where'd that come from? I'm telling you, the devil knows how this operates, and the devil will fight your prayer life more than anything else you do. He'll fight you reading the Bible, but nothing on the same scale as he will you getting down and calling on God in true prayer. Because he knows the secret to the power of God is prayer. We've been given, I'm going to close with this, but we've been given some great promises about prayer. I want to give these to you, and we'll cut off right here, but we are nowhere near even started, much less done. But I want to leave you these promises about praying. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. That ain't up for debate. That ain't maybe it will, maybe it won't. This is a promise from God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man, listen, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If one of my daughters come to me and said, Daddy, I'm so hungry. I ain't eating days, Daddy. I'd call her a liar first because I know better. But honestly, if one of my children come in from off the road or whatever, and they said, Daddy, I ain't had the money, and I ain't eating 3 days, and Daddy, I'm hungry. I would do whatever I had to do to make sure my children had food. And I'm a sinner. And I'm just a man. I'm just an earthly father. But that verse says, what man is there of you whom, if he had a son, ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We just ain't asking. We've allowed prayer to become such a small priority of our life that we've failed to ask. The Bible still says you have not because you ask not. And he promised us, if we'll ask, he'll answer. If we'll knock, he'll open that door. John 14, 13, the Bible said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's Jesus speaking. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You think Jesus is a liar? No, sir. No, ma'am. And he promised us, if you'll ask it in his name, I will do it. What about James 5:16? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What about 1 John 5:13? Here's another promise from God. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He promised you. Over and over and over and over again. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I mean, that Bible's full, and I could spend the rest of the night tonight just giving you promise after promise after promise, where not that the preacher made, or not that one brother or sister made, but where the God of heaven said, if you want to be connected back into the power source, if you want to get anything you need, if you'll come to me and call on me and pray to me, I'll give you whatever's in my will and you ask for. I'd say that's a pretty good deal God give us. I'd say this, and I'm done. Listen to me. You say, I'm tired. I promise you I'm sweatier than you. I promise you can't be too much more tired than I am. Listen, I'm give out too, but this is so important. Oh, God, send the power just now. We need to be connected back. And the first way that I hope you'll take home with you, I hope this will be first on your list, and this will reign in your mind, and God will tattoo this in our hearts. We'll wake up in the morning and maybe wake, set the alarm clock a little bit early and say, hey, listen, I heard the preacher last night, and I want to get connected back to the power of God. And he promised me if I'd pray and I'd ask, he'd answer me and he'd give me what I need. And I'm begging you, as we're a month away from revival, I want this one to go down not just as another great meeting, but I want this one to go down as something our children will talk about and tell their children about. You say, oh, preacher, you wishful thinking. Not according to this book. He said if we'll ask, and it's his will, and I promise you, it's his will that sinners get saved. Amen. I promise you it's his will for my children and yours to be saved. I promise you it's his will for him to pour his power out on this church and that Jesus will be noised abroad in the town of Packlet. Amen. But we got to connect. And that starts with prayer. Amen. Will you pray? Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name.